I'm reading from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority. For it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Before we start our reflection on the scripture today, I'm going to ask you to pray with me for a woman. Her name is Melinda. She's been a volunteer, faithful volunteer with the community breakfast for some time. And on Friday, she was hit by a car, and she is in the hospital. And we are told that she will survive, but she's not doing really well. So let us all, in gratitude to God for her service and in honor of her life, say a prayer for her. Dear Lord God, we want you to see your daughter Melinda, to embrace her with your love, to touch her with your healing, to be there with her as she struggles in that hospital bed with healing treatment for her body. May her soul be filled with your presence and your mercy. We put her in your hands for a quick recovery in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, folks. So we're talking about temptation today. Woo. Tara and I were, and Bianca, Tara and I were joking this week about using old music from The Temptations. That would have been fun, right?
Yeah.
And I know Chloe could have done it, but temptation, sometimes the word itself is ominous. Sometimes we think about temptation and we said, "Oh, not me. I'm not tempted, you know, to do anything outrageous." But temptation comes sometimes in a very sneaky way to our lives. You know why? Because the reason there is temptation and the reason sometimes, many times, temptation succeeds in the life of humans is because we have weaknesses. So when we talk about temptation, let's talk about our human weakness. We all have them. That's why we need the strength of the Lord, because we as humans alone are weak. We give in to what we see, what we perceive to be good, what is appealing to our senses, and that in itself is the temptation. Temptation is not falling into a terrible sin or a sinful life. Temptation is what comes to us. Our response to that may determine if we are faithful children of God or if we're going to go astray and do whatever our bodies ask us to do. So, temptation, not sin today. We're not talking about sin. We're talking about temptation, those things that come to us. And the problem with temptation is that the invitation seems to be to sell out, our principles, to sell out our way of life, to sell out sometimes our families, our community connections and commitments, to sell out. When we start doing that, we know that now we are falling into the temptation, that the temptation is really succeeding with us. And that's when we need to have a red light and say, wait a minute, let me think about this. Is this what I really want to do or to have or to be or to say? So Jesus went to the desert, the wilderness. This is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And you know what happened? Through the scriptures, there are many people of God who went through a wilderness. It seems to me like the scriptures are trying to tell us that this is normal, that when you decide to follow the path of righteousness, there comes a wilderness. So let us be prepared for that. If you didn't go through it yet, watch it. For Jesus, the devil came to tempt him, and there were basically three temptations that were presented to him. Now, I don't know if this scripture means that these are emblematic of what temptation is, if these are just examples, if this was just Jesus' experience and it will not be ours. I don't know really what the scripture means, but by reading other scriptures, I kind of tend to believe that Jesus' life and ministry is really an example to us, and that we need to follow in his footsteps, but also watch out for the things that happened to him. So, in that spirit, let's analyze these temptations. The first one is basic needs. Bread and water. That's our basic need. We need to survive. The need to survival. The need to be able to feed our kids, our family. The need to have a place to live. The need to be able to walk and to work and to survive life. Very basic. Think the most basic needs possible. No, it's not your heater at home. No, it's not going to a fancy restaurant once a week. It's not none of that. It's basic, basic, basic. Think about the most basic things. Think about clothing to keep you warm and to keep you decent. Think about that. That is a basic need. So the first temptation to Jesus is, well, you're hungry, you haven't eaten for 40 days. Tell those stones to become bread so you can feed yourself. This is a very basic human need. The problem with these needs is that we in this room may not relate to them so much because we take them for granted. But look around in our city of Tacoma, look around at the tent encampments, look around, see why our community breakfast is so popular and so successful. We are feeding about 250 people lately. And why is that? It's not because people are home and they say, oh, I want to have breakfast out, but I don't want to pay for it, so let's go to the community breakfast at Urban Grace. Rather, it's because let's take this opportunity to have some food in our bellies today. It's hard for us to relate to that. That's why we emphasize so much that if you have an opportunity, go and volunteer, or at least go and sit there and eat with them on a Sunday so you can have a little bit of a better idea of what happens, what's going on, why those people are there. I was there a couple of weeks ago. I had to confess, it's my second time in 9 months that I've been there. It's way early for me. And there was this, there were two women sitting at a table in a corner, and I went to sit with them for a little while. I didn't want to be a pest to them, but I sat with them and I asked them, because the majority of the people coming to the breakfast are men. The majority. There are some women, but just a few. So I went and I sat with them and I asked them their names. I told them who I was and asked them if they came often, and they said yes, every Sunday. So one of them talked about her car or something like that. I don't remember exactly what she talked about. And that prompted my question if she had, if she lived in a house. And she said, not at the moment, but I'm saving my, oh, she said she had a job. She talked about her job. And I said, do you have a house? Do you live in a house? And she said, no, not at the moment, but I'm saving to be able to rent someplace. That's her hope. And just to listen to that with grace, with empathy, and with love made a difference. I stood up after a while and I said, well, ladies, I'm going to let you eat. You know, I don't want to mess your breakfast anymore. And they both said, thank you so much for coming and talking to us. Basic needs that sometimes we cannot even relate to because we take them for granted. Those will hardly be a temptation for us. There are people who steal to be able to feed their kids. There are people who go to extremes. Let me give you another story. When I was a pastor in Grace Baptist Church in San Jose, California, we had an encampment in 2015. We had an encampment right outside the church, on the church lawn, side lawn. And they were there, and there was this woman that was a busybody, and she was a little controversial because she engaged in fights with everybody. She was one of those people who are very dynamic, very hyper, very commanding. And some people resisted that. But she was also very generous, very extremely generous. So one day, she got a hold of a big potato. Big potato. Where? I don't know. How she came about this big potato, I cannot tell. But this is what she did. She went to the 7-Eleven by the corner. She cooked the baked potato in the microwave at 7-Eleven. They let you do that if you have need. She got utensils, plastic utensils. She cut the baked potato, put some ketchup in it, and brought it back to the encampment. Distributed some utensils and said, here, everybody, have a piece of potato. That's what you do when you understand that not only you have basic needs, but everybody around you as well. The second temptation of Jesus is one that I call about once. And this is, pay attention to this one, because to this one, we can relate better, I think. Things we want. That new car you've been wanting for a while, That new house that you have your eye on, those new shoes, maybe a pair of Italian shoes. Yeah, that'd be nice. I like Italian shoes. Maybe a new coat for the winter, maybe a new thing, something that you cannot grab every day, but that make you work hard for them and save some money so you can buy it, you can get it. And this is our temptation. We're not going to go and take over or steal a car or a pair of shoes or a house, but we will work hard. We will work extra hours. We will save all our money. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to steal time from our family. We're going to steal time from our kids. And we're going to steal experiences from them because we cannot spend a penny extra for that, you know, visit to McDonald's or that park where there are rides. We cannot do any of that right now. We cannot go to the movies. I cannot go to the movies with my spouse because we're going to spend money that we're trying to save. Saving is good, America told us. Capitalism tells us saving is great. Saving is fabulous. Jesus, on the other hand, said, be thankful for what you have today and don't worry about tomorrow. So who are we to believe? Think about that, folks. Think about that. Our wants may be right, and our wants are not outrageous, and are not wants for bad things, but the ones for good things and better things, and especially material things, will be comparable to stealing from our families, from our church, from our community at large, even from our co-workers. When everybody goes to happy hour on a Friday afternoon after work, and I have to say, oh no, I'm working extra hours today, so you go without me. Think about what we're stealing from the people around us. Just for once, it's a temptation. And finally, I've been thinking a lot about this because I was tempted to say to you, I don't think the third one applies to us really too much. But then I thought it over, and let me explain. The third one is the temptation of power. The temptation of being famous, the temptation of having dominance, the temptation of being able to control the lives of people, and many people. The more people, the better. And I looked at our congregation, I said, none of us is running for office, none of us is expecting to be president of the United States or even mayor of Tacoma, that I know of. So I said, eh. But then I thought, as Christians, we fall a lot into the temptation of the power of the hero. We want to be good, and we want to be better than anybody else. We want to help people, but we want to help them more than anybody else. We want our name to be written in a little plaque and hang on a wall in the church because we've helped people so much. We want to be the hero. We want to be the savior. We have a Messiah complex that only responds not to the needs of the people around us necessarily, but responds to our need for power. And our need for power is a big temptation. Yes, I have to say, even among us. The church, universal, is playing with examples about this. How we interpret scripture better than anybody else. How we have moral standards higher than anybody else. How we can tell people what to do and what not to do, and we are the decider. That's the temptation of power. So, friends, yeah. Today, let us consider our human weakness. Today, let us consider who we are, each of us. Who am I in the eyes of God, in relationship to the people I love, in relationship to the community where I belong? And let us all overcome temptation, like Jesus did. Yes, you can say to me, but I'm not Jesus. Granted. You can say, I don't have the power of Jesus to overcome temptation. I don't have that strength. I'm not God. No, we are not God. But remember that Jesus came to live among us as a human, and as a human full of the Holy Spirit, he was able to become our model so we can imitate him. We couldn't imitate Jesus if everything he did as God. We could not. But we can imitate Jesus because everything he did not do because he was God. He did it because he was a human full of the Holy Spirit. So friends, check those gods of you and see what they say. The Holy Spirit gods that we all have inside us. And with that strength, let us overcome temptation as he did. May the Lord bless us all. Amen.